Hey y'all, what's up? Welcome to Monstrosity's Voice, Horizon Touch Conversations with me, your lovely host, Kyaja Fields. And if you're listening to this by the time it's posted, it is my birthday. I wanted to do something special and give myself something and come back on the mic and talk to y'all. It's been so long, like it's been about like 2 years since I've gotten back on the mic on my own platform and spoken with y'all. And I've kind of gone through so many different phases of creativity to where I was like, you know what, it's time for me to just come on back. Before we talk about any film or any movie today, I really just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart for like sticking with me through all these years. I've had the podcast since 2018. I was a little wee pup, fresh out of college, and here I am now, turning 29, and y'all have really been there for me, supporting me when I was active and when I wasn't active, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Also, I wanted to elaborate on just the gear and where things are headed for the podcast from its conception. I think this season I want to integrate a little bit more of my film knowledge and my special effects film knowledge. So this season we'll have more filmmakers, we'll have more special effects artists, we'll be talking more in depth about the makeup in movies and things of that nature. And then of course still shooting the shit how we normally do. But yeah, I just wanted to, you know, come on and let you know that thank you from the bottom of my heart, and I really hope that you enjoyed this episode because I definitely enjoyed recording it. And yeah, y'all have a great day. Stay spooky. What's up, y'all? We back. Season 6, Episode 1, Monstrosity's Voice, Horrors and Touch Conversations, the podcast for Black Horror by Black Horror, with me, your lovely host, hostess with the mostest, Kyaja Fields. Happy birthday to me. Turn the fuck up, y'all. I'm so excited to talk about this film today. I'm just solo dolo today. And this movie has been in the back of my mind, honestly, for years. So I know y'all know, like, Before the Housewives, like, infiltrated Bravo and all that stuff, that they used to have like these really dope like countdown and compilation video type things of like Bravo scariest movie moments or Chiller 13 scariest movie moments, or you know. And so I found this film and a bunch of other films that I have grown to love on that, and I finally had an opportunity to really sit down and watch it probably I think like 4 months ago 3 or 4 months ago. And I hadn't felt this uncomfortable and truly disturbed watching a film since probably watching Hereditary. And okay, all you Hereditary snobs, fuck off. I don't care. I fucking love Hereditary. I love Ari Aster. I wrote an entire article about Ari Aster and his work. I don't care. But It really captivated me. And so today we'll be talking about Wolf Creek, which if you haven't seen it, Wolf Creek is a 2005 five Australian slashers surrounding three backpackers. You got Liz, you got Christy, you got Ben, who inevitably meet their fate when they come across a witty, murder-filled hunter named Mick. And this movie is really scary, and another list or another thing on my list as to why I don't want to go to Australia. Just kidding. I would love to go to Australia. So it was written and directed by Greg McLean, starring John Jarrett as Mick Taylor. We have Cassandra McGrath as Liz Hunter. Kesey Morassi, I feel like I said that so wrong, I am so sorry, as Christy Earle. And we have Nathan Phillips as Ben Mitchell. So you have this movie that came out in the early 2000s, right? And you have, especially in the dawn of the torture porn area, of horror, right? And you have like the post 9/11, like bleak, like just hopeless, devastating horror. And this movie really captivated that subgenre in that time of the likes of like Saw and Hostel and pretty much any Rob Zombie film that was ever made. Like I said, I'd seen them speak about it on like, I think it was either Bravo Scariest Movie Moments or something like that. And I was like, this is kind of crazy. But it's streaming on Tubi right now for free. And I think it's on YouTube for free. So please, I know I always do my spoiler alerts. I'm going to try not to spoil it, but, you know, pause the show. You can go watch it. It's totally free. After doing a little bit more research and finding out that this is based on true events, similar to like how Texas Chainsaw is based on a plethora of people and, you know, Ed Gein and all that. Wolf Creek is based on two Australian murderers. Like you have the infamous Ivan Milat, and then you have Bradley John Murdoch, who at the time that Wolf Creek came out had an active murder trial going on during the initial release of the film. And the film was so close to what had happened that the judges delayed the Australian release of the film until after the trial was over to prohibit any like conflict of interest or anything during the active trial. So you got the beginning of the movie, and really the first like 30, 40 minutes is just, it's a slow burn. And if you know me, you'd know I love slow burns. And you focus the first better half of the film creating a connection with the friends. And you sort of kind of lose direction on the fact that this is a horror movie and some shit could pop off at any moment. So you start off and you have Ben, Liz, and Christy. Liz and Christy are British, and that plays a big part into my theory later. And then you have Ben, who is a native Australian, who is from Sydney, and they are getting ready to go on a 3-week backpacking trip. And we have Ben, who buys this like shitty car for $1,500, who he knows driving off the lot is like a lemon. Like it's like not, you know, a good car, but he proceeds to, you know, take it anyway. So they are like, oh, you know, we want to have a good, you know, start. Let's get some rest. And they end up having this really like live ass party. I wish I was there. And you kind of see a little bit of the character development as far as this love triangle between Liz, Christy, and Ben. And then allegedly Ben has a girl in Sydney. This is a lot going on. And you're really like engulfed in the character development of this friendship. Like when they're driving to Wolf Creek, they're singing, they're playing the guitar, they're doing things that you would think would be happening in a road trip in 1999, which I was four in 1999. But even there's a scene, which is really important towards the end, where they stop at a gas station and there's some like D-bag guys that are making really rude comments to the women. That's also a undertone that I found in this movie. Not even with Ben, like with Christy and Liz, like the disrespect towards women in this movie is insane. And I feel like it was said that and noted that during a few scenes in the movie, in the Australian release, that a lot of people walked out because they're like, I'm not going to sit and watch this movie where people are just disrespecting women and torturing them throughout the entire film. But anyway, you have the beginning of the movie where they're really, you know, captivating this friendship. And then we finally get to the Wolf Creek crater. And we're there and I'm like, why the fuck would they want to go? And just, it's raining and it's just a lot. And I'm just like, bugs. When I think of Australia, I think of bugs. I think of the fact that Australia is in fact
Jurassic Park. So you wouldn't have caught me in none of that. But it still looked fun. I do enjoy outdoorsy activities. Like I do kayak frequently, but yeah, no, not with bugs. But yeah. So they're there. And they go and they go on a hike, and things are going well. They're having the intimate moments with each other, and you think things are going good, but you also have to fucking remember this is a horror movie, and some shit's gonna pop off. And that's the good thing that I love about slow burns is that you get so captivated in the beginning, you get so captivated in like the dialogue, the connection that these characters have, that you forget that some shit is really gonna pop off. So they go back to the car, and the car's not starting. And their watches aren't on either. And I'm like, oh, okay, it's kind of strange. The watches aren't working. The car isn't starting. Is this some UFO shit going on? I think at this point, Ben had mentioned like some UFO activity. And so I'm like, I know they're not intertwining no aliens in this bitch. But, I'm like, what the hell is going on? And so then they have to sleep overnight in the car. Or they have to spend the night in the car, and it's cold, it's rainy. They're essentially in the middle. They're not essentially, nigga, they are in the middle of nowhere. And they see these lights, and Ben, who is a freaking scaredy cat, is like, oh my God, it's aliens. And they're like, relax. And it ends up being this really friendly, country Australian guy named Mick. And Mick's like, hey, y'all scared me. Like, what's going on with your car? Oh, don't worry, I can fix your car. Just. And he really, our introduction to Mick, he's very approachable, very funny. It seems as if we all have an uncle that has an archetype of like, oh, that's just our crazy uncle Mick, right? And so the group, they let their guard down and they're like, hey, we just want to get our car fixed so we can get going. We're in the middle of nowhere. We don't got that much money. And Mick's like, yeah, I'll help you. And they are like, ah, we feel a little bit uneasy. Maybe can you give us a ride north into town and we can pay someone to do it because we don't have that much money to pay you. Mick's like, hey, little niggas, I'm not going north, I'm going south. So you can either follow me or you can be stranded. And they're like, eh, well, we ain't really got much of a choice. So they are in the car. And well, Mick is he has their car attached, and he's driving back to his house or his camp or wherever where he can fix the vehicle. And they're like, damn, we've been in a car for a minute. In the car, it seems like hours. And he's like, oh, we got another hour, it's just up the road. I'm like, nigga, up the road, girl, after 30 minutes I would have been very much alarmed. But you also have to realize that it's Australia. Fun fact, there are more people in the state of Texas where I live, in one state, than in the entire continent of Australia, because a lot of it you can't live in. Due to weather and outback and stuff like that, and bugs. I'm just kidding, not the bugs. But I thought that was a really cool fun fact. So they finally made it to Mick's camp, and in good old I don't want to say good old Southern fashion, but in good old hospitable fashion, they gather around a fire. Mick is being hospitable. Hey, we'll get your car fixed in no time. Let's just have a chit chat. And he's like, hey, are you thirsty? Would you like some water, some rainwater? And they're all drinking the rainwater, having a great old time. And Ben is making it really fucking awkward with all these weird questions. And something that I noticed in the beginning when they first are introduced to Mick is when he's asking, like, hey, where are you from? The two ladies, Liz and Christy, are from the UK. And Mick is a little, okay. I don't know how I feel about that. But when Ben's like, oh, I'm from Sydney, he's like, oh, you're a bloke. Please let me know if that's offensive. I'm not sure. I don't want to offend anyone of my Australian listeners. I don't even know what that means. I'm sorry. I'm just quoting the movie. And so he is like, oh, I'm from Sydney. And he even makes up, he rebuttals a inappropriate, saying after that. And so it kind of gives that Mick has a patriotist, like he has like patriotism, like a vibe to him. Like from the start, treating the British women a little bit standoffish. And even though Ben is from Sydney, culturally they're very different. It's kind of like rural versus urban. And he's like, it's kind of like this sense of pride in living in more of a rural area versus like, oh, you live in the city and it's this and this and that. That's the kind of vibe I'm getting. So at this point, they're around the campfire. Chit chatting, they're talking, And Ben is making these really weird comments about knives and shit, and he's just like killing the vibe. And then they have this burping contest. It's just a lot. And so the thing that kind of ticks me off to where it's like, oh, some shit is really about to get going, is after Mick talks about how he used to be a shooter and like killing all these animals for like his population or whatever. Ben's like, okay, so what do you really like? What do you do now? And Mick's like, oh, if I tell you, I gotta kill you. And I'm like, what, nigga? Did you just hear him? Like, I don't know. If somebody would say that to me, I would have jet it because there's truth in every joke. So I'm sorry. You gotta kill me? Oh, I gotta go. And so you can kind of tell that's when things become a little bit uneasy. And then things lighten up. They have a burping contest or farting and shit, super gross. And they fall asleep. And Liz wakes up and she's tied in a shed, I believe, a shed of some sort. And she's bloody and she gets up and she breaks out. And this is where the shit hits the fucking fan. And at this point, she's just trying to figure out what the fuck happened. And I feel like her survival instincts instantly kicked in. Like, what the fuck y'all got going on in the UK? Like, she instantly went into survival mode. Like, I gotta find my friend. At this point, we really don't know where the fuck Ben is. But we got Liz, and she's on the hunt to try to figure out, one, where's Mick? So I can stay away from him because obviously he tied me up. And two, where's my bitch? Where's Christy? So she finds Christy, and this like series of scenes with Christy and Mick are by far some of the most disturbing scenes I've seen in film. So yeah, it's very, 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 yeah, it's a lot. It's very much so like more to me. It's like, 'cause you know Rob Zombie takes it fucking there. I feel like it's a little like 2 notches above Rob Zombie. And she finally finds Christy, and she and Mick is gone, and she unties Christy, or she finds Christy, and she's like, "Hey, I'll get you out of here." And she hides, and we get her POV through like the closet or like a shed of some sort, like what Mick is doing to Christy and the things he's saying to her, and it is extremely violent. And I don't want to re repeat anything that's said. You can watch it for yourself, but it is really violent. And also, he keeps saying, "Oh, you British." C words. I don't want to say the word, but he keeps noting that these girls are British. So I'm like, this nigga here is like real, like patriotic. And I'm like, oh, that's okay. That's definitely something that I picked up from him. But so we got Christy, baby. She was screaming. She was screaming loudly. Even watching the movie, I was like, woo. And I know on set, I was watching, doing a little research, and on set, they said that it was so bad, her screams for hours and hours, take after take, she was screaming, that it drove the crew insane. And the editor, to kind of give himself some relief from editing, had edited in fart noises to kind of like, haha, let's laugh, because fuck, like those are blood-curdling screams over and over, take after take. So my bitch Liz, she. Her last name ain't Hunter for a reason. Okay? Or her last name is Hunter. But whatever. You get what I'm saying. She, or baby, she was kicking ass. And she grabbed one of them little guns and she had confronted Mick and she was like, look, we'll let my bitch go right now. And Mick's like, it ain't nothing in that gun, Shawty. I'm calling your bluff. She was like, watch me. Bop! Popped him in the neck. So she takes her friend and they get out. And they trying to find the cars, and they get in the car, and they're running, and they fuck up Mick's car. There's a lot going on. This movie, it's kind of like The Exorcist. Like, it's super fucking slow for like 40 minutes, and then it hits the gas running. Like, she runs over Mick, and he gets shot, and then they go, and Mick follows them. Like, you know that one Snoop Dogg, oh, it's off the top of my head. The meme where he's like, this nigga don't miss. That is Mick. That nigga don't miss. Like, it's giving very much Donnie McClurkin, we fall down, but we get up. Because every time Christy and Liz try everything, that nigga kept getting back up. And so they are on this cliff and they get rid of the truck for whatever fucking reason. I just don't, I did not understand that. So she takes Mick's truck and throws it off the cliff or whatever. She leaves Christy there. She's like, hey, I'm gonna come back for you. Watch it. Just stay here. So she leaves Christy off the side of the road, off a cliff, essentially. So Chrissy's there. And so Liz goes back to the shed to, I guess, finish off the job or do whatever. So she gets back there, and there's a scene where she is like, she falls in like a pit of some sort, and there are worms and decaying bodies, and I literally wanted to throw up. It's disgusting. But at this point, we're like 30 minutes in, 30 more minutes in, and we still don't know where the fuck Ben is. We don't know what he got going on. We don't know where he at. And I'm like, well, my first time watching the movie, I was like, did they forget about my nigga Ben? Like, what's going on? Anyway, so Liz is, she's on a hunt. Like, she's trying to figure out what's going on. She's trying to like get another vehicle to save her friend. So she finds a room. And this scene for me was one of the most impactful scenes. Was because she goes in this room and she finds all of the memorabilia of all of the families that Mick has tortured and killed, and all their cars. He's kept every single car. He's kept every passport, every ID, every pocketbook, everything, all the camcorders. And there's a scene where she looks and she finds a camcorder, and it's the same, like the same situation of these families or people going to the Wolf Creek crater, their cars not starting, and Mick coming and saving them and taking them to his camp and him giving them that fucking rainwater. And they lose it and they die. And one is giving very much hoarder. Like, ugh, throw that shit away. But you know, when you're a hunter, you like hunters, they save the things that they save, like they have the what, taxidermy? I think that's what it's called. They save all of the things and save those things as a, like a prized possession. So essentially that's what I felt like when he had all of this these things. And it was really disturbing. And you could see there's a scene right before, in the beginning, before Ben, Christie, and Liz go to the gas station, before those freaking D-bag guys were talking shit to the girls. And I guess the gas clerk was trying to pump the gas, and there's a truck in the background of that scene, and it's fucking Nick. And when I tell you I gagged when I saw that for the first time, I said, so he been following them this whole time? It ain't enough gas in the world. In 2005, baby, gas prices was to the roof. Anyways, yeah. So that was really disturbing and really heartbreaking. And Mick had essentially been plotting on, you know, them and other people, you know, forever. And I don't think I've felt that uncomfortable or that gagged since watching the kitchen scene from The Strangers with Liv Tyler, and she's drinking her water or smoking a cigarette, one of the two, and you see the one of the strangers in the background, and it's like, oh my God. Like, that right there is so, those things scare me the most, more than jump scares, more than gags and gore. But those insidious moments of where something's in the back and no one noticed, it's just so scary. So after that, Liz is like, I gotta get the fuck up out of here. So she finds a set of keys. She goes to the car. She gets in the car. She cranks it and she's like, yes, this works. And lo and behold, Mr. We Fall Down But We Get Up is in the back seat and stabs her in the back, figuratively and literally. So I'm like, damn. Damn it, Liz. You were almost there to go save your friend and get the fuck. Well, one of your friends, because you don't, ain't nobody mentioned nothing about Ben up at this point. So he stabs her in the back. And this is probably, it's from a makeup standpoint, special effects standpoint, my favorite scene. Is when he's discussing, like, I think it's the head on the stick. He's like, hey, it's what we used to do back in the day. You know, if I want to get some information out you, I can. This nigga stabs her in her spine and she's paralyzed. And then to add assault to injury, no pun intended, he slices her fingers. And the look on her face when she's laying down, gasping for air, trying to grapple with the fact that you can't, like, you're done. You're done. That was cinema right there. That was perfect. And I hate to say that, like, you know, a film snob, but that was fucking perfect. And it was just so, that was intense. I think I had to watch SpongeBob after watching Wolf Creek the first time. I was like, this is doing a little bit much. But anyways, yeah, I thought that Liz is gonna make it. But Mick don't miss. So then we finally figure out what's going on with Ben. And they got Ben stretched out with pins in his hand like Tupac on the damn Don Caluminati album cover. I'm like, nigga, you've been hung up there this whole time? Anyways, so he finally gets down. He has no idea where his friends are. He has no idea where he is, I'm presuming. He doesn't know where Mick is. He doesn't know anything. And he gets away. He gets away. He goes back out from the camp and he is calling for help and he gets away. And so we're gonna leave Ben where he's at and go back to Christy. So at this point, Christy, like, my friend ain't coming back to get me. I need to get up and go. So she musters up the courage to get up and run away. And she finds a guy, an older man in a car who's like, oh my God, you know, are you okay? What happened? And she's screaming on the floor, like, please help me, sir, please. This man don't miss. He trying, he crazy. I don't know how Mick can be in all these places at one time, too. Like, and so, you know, at this point for the viewer, we're like, okay, there's hope. Like, Chrissy's gonna get away. And Mick shoots at in his fun, you know, he's a hunter, so he likes to play the game. So he shoots the guy, the Good Samaritan, essentially, and kills him. And so to create this sense of just a cloud of dread over Christy. Like, I can never escape this man. I can't. So she gets in the car and she's driving, she's driving, she's trying to escape, but I don't know what type of four-wheel drive power shit is in that man's truck, but he was driving that. And they're trailing each other. They're back and forth. They're back and forth. And he runs her off the road and she's gone. She's dead. So Liz is somewhere paralyzed, probably bled out. Christy's dead. And Ben is just out here living life. Well, he's not living life, but he's alive. So to me, that's living life. And fast forward, they arrested. They couldn't find the girls. They locked Ben up. Couldn't find nothing on Ben. And so they let him go. Again, I think because he's Australian. And the worst part of this is that Mick is still out there. But I think going back to the scene where he severs her spine, a scene, what he says is what gets me. He's like, oh, you know, I got shot in my neck. It ain't gonna hurt you. Good. And it reminds me of Paid in Full. For all of y'all that have seen Paid in Full, where Cameron is like, hey, niggas get shot every day, B, you be all right? Like, what do you mean? I'm gonna be a, like, I can't. It was terrifying. And, you know, it just, Wolf Creek is hopeless. Like I said in the beginning, it's a reflection of post 9/11 horror, specifically in the early 2000s. It leaves you empty. There is no happy ending. Mick is still out there. With radioactive powers to stop your car and stop your watch and butcher you and keep your shit. He won't keep your shit. It's just so much. This film is so layered and crafted really well. And the director of photography, the DP, actually had a history of doing documentary. So that's why you get a real gritty look of the film. It's so beautifully crafted. And I feel like even though it was, I would still consider it to be torture porn, it cinematically and the dialogue and all of that or it was just perfect. It was a great blend. I have not had an opportunity to see Wolf Creek 2 or the series. I should. But if you get an opportunity to watch Wolf Creek, please do. It definitely makes you if definitely an uneasy feel after, and that's what I wanted to start season six with. So we got the, you know, foot on the gas, no Mick. But thank you all so much for listening to me today. I really enjoy talking about and doing research on Wolf Creek. And it was such a moment for me to kind of be like, okay, like I'm getting back in the groove of like watching horror and really digesting it and, you know, being a true fan. So thank y'all for being on that journey with me. If you want to follow the podcast on Instagram, it is at MVHU Podcast. We also are starting a thing called Monstrosities Moments, where every other week I will be posting on Instagram and giving short behind the scenes on my favorite horror movies, a peek behind the horror scenes, as you will. Also, you can follow us on Twitter, because we will not call it X on this platform. If your mama named you Twitter, I'm gonna call you Twitter. At MVHU Podcast. If you'd like to follow me, Kaiasia, on Instagram, I am Kai_FX. And thank you so much for listening, and I hope y'all stay spooky and stay safe, and happy birthday to me.
Thank you.